865. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Real quick here before we get to our next guest, Squirrel Vary, liberals like to point a high infant mortality rate, but their solution to that, like the ones in Fairhope Group Fem South, is abortion, abortion, abortion. And of course, use black babies for their argument. B Dark writes, better be careful. You may get an elder abuse case between Ivy and Biden. Thanks for the tip, B Dark. Joining us now on the line, he's our returning champion. Typically do this on Friday, but since I'm skipping Friday, we'll be back on Monday. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. It has been a whirlwind of 24 hours here. So interesting times we live in.
Well, just kind of give us your nuts and bolts reaction here.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is, you know, is to take a breath and digest this 92-page ruling and really kind of see where we are and assess what our options are and are not. Not a knee-jerk reaction. And then it becomes, you know, really two things. It's clock management and it's field position, right? And once you have an opportunity to let the learned lawyers and scholars, you know, try to figure out what our options are, then look at what our options, you know, what can the legislature do in the time that we have, and then, you know, have those conversations with leadership and the governor and kind of move forward from there. I mean, I think the appetite is fairly clear given the ruling, but see how that ruling, which is the Calais ruling, it relates to, you know, Louisiana, how that affects the Alabama cases and where we can go from there.
I mean, am I wrong to think that there is something to be done before 2030?
Maybe. And maybe not. I think it is incumbent upon us to, you know, to make sure that we go down that path fully, and that if there is an opportunity to do something before then we are in a position to do that. And so we need to maintain all of the optionality possible for the people of the state of Alabama. You know, the court's ruling has basically said, hey, listen, partisan gerrymandering is absolutely something you can do. We need to look and see if that's something we, given the court's, you know, the lower court's ruling, have the ability to do that or not. And so, you know, in this short, you know, time period that we have, we don't need to run off half cocked. We need to get a plan and we need to execute a plan and make sure that we preserve as much optionality as we can, instead of just saying, well, we can't do anything and, you know, oh, well, and, you know.
Right. I'll say this though. I mean, the existing framework, what we're operating under, this lower court, this three judge panel, the justifications for what they did, based on this court decision yesterday, are no longer applicable. And to me, is it right for us to operate under that framework for three more years?
Well, I think, you know, I think we have to be careful saying that all of that is no longer applicable. And so, you know, some parts of it may be, and again, we've had 24 hours to digest a 92-page ruling, but we need to take a breath, you know, to take the rest of the week and the weekend and dig in, have these conversations. And this has been the dominant conversation, you know, since yesterday. But let's digest this. Let's have these conversations and figure out, you know, what parts of that three judge panel ruling still are applicable, what may not be, and what is the path forward. And then during the time frame that we have between now and the 19th, what can we do to preserve, you know, our options from a, you know, moving forward, we have to look at that as well. And so I think that's what's going to, you know, that's what we're looking at right now. I'm confident that no decisions have been made, but I am confident that everyone is laser focused on this and is looking at what the options are and frankly, what the options are not.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Well, just hypothetically, could anything be done even if there's no state house or have you been thought about, like, would you just go to the old chambers or any action be taken?
I mean, listen, we'll figure that out. I mean, those are mechanics. And listen, that's an important question to ask. I did see a picture that Todd Stacey posted earlier today of the desks are already kind of, you know, taped up and ready to move and stuff like that. But look, this isn't a full legislative session with, you know, all kinds of, you know, different pieces of legislation and tracking 1,000 different pieces of legislation and the amendments and the substitutes and all the motions and all that kind of stuff, which is complicated as it can be. This is going to be, you know, a bill or two, if it is, and it's something that we can absolutely handle. Will it work as easily as if all the infrastructure was in place? No, but, you know. Hey, we can figure that out. They pass laws without computers for a long time, and we can do it here too. And so that should not be a problem. We should not be looking for excuses as to why we can't do something. We should be looking for reasons to do something to preserve as many options as possible for us moving forward.
Are you hearing from your constituents at all about this?
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, they are very intent on, you know, and listen, I'm in one of the most conservative districts in the state. They are very intent on us making sure that we do everything we can to maintain a Republican majority in Congress and support the president. That shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. I mean, listen, in the polling that we've done, I'm happy with the poll results that I've seen in my race, but we also have polled the president's approval ratings. And Jeff, they went from 87 to 89% of, you know, in likely Republican primary voters. So, you know, the folks in my district are very intent on making sure that the president has his, you know, the support he needs in Congress to move his agenda. And that's something that, you know, to the extent we have the capacity to do that at the state level, I want to be able to do that.
Let's switch gears here. I moderated a debate last night. One of the questions I asked, and I'm going to run it by you and see, get your reaction to it, was we elect a member to Congress for the first congressional district. And what I'm looking, you know, is there more that needs to be done on the federal level, at least in Congress in the legislative branch regarding the mud dumping situation in the Army Corps of Engineers?
Well, first of all, I think you did a good job with that debate. I had the opportunity to watch it late last night. I think Erica Thomas had streamed it, so I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing. But I was absolutely floored that it looked like two of the candidates for Congress were completely unfamiliar with the issue. And that was just, I was gobsmacked at that. That was unbelievable that they just didn't even acknowledge the issue. Having said that, you know, you've got reauthorizations coming up for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The steps we took at the state level require 70% of the beneficial use or the dredge material to be used for beneficial use, and it defines what beneficial use is. And in order for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to get concurrency with the Alabama Coastal Management Plan, they're going to have to follow that guidance. And so the question becomes, frankly, money. And so what Senator Britt has been very successful with is plussing up the authorizations for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers so that they have the money to do that. Now, what we need to make sure we do is in the WERDA bill at the federal level, we mandate compliance with and concurrency with the Coastal Management Plan, and that will force the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to do this from a federal level. They're already required to do that in order to get concurrency, but this gets them kind of in a pincer, situation where they're being told in order to get concurrency with the Coastal Management Plan at the state level, you have to do it. And then if you can put that language in WERDA, then I think you're in a really good spot to ensure that this goes forward. And so I will simply say this without endorsing one candidate or the other, but don't pick one of the guys that has no idea what this issue is about. Good gracious alive. You must be this tall to ride the ride. And I was flabbergasted that they didn't even know anything about the issue.
Well, the other part of this, there was one of the candidates said, well, we don't need any more regulations, and this is just a cumbersome regulation, but it's not a regulation on private business. It's a regulation aimed at government, the Army Corps of Engineers.
That's exactly right. And oh, by the way, it's a regulation that is imposed on private businesses and is imposed on regular members of the public who are trying to, you know, dredge their boat slip or something like that. And so, you know, why in the world would we not make the federal government and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers live up to the same regulations that they impose on us? And so I found that argument kind of empty as well, and frankly, a little bit uninformed. And that is what is so concerning to me about, you know, some of the conversations in this election overall. I mean, these are serious positions and these are serious policy issues. And yes, they're complex, but you need to know what you're talking about if you're going to come out here and say, hey, I'm the guy for the job. It's got to be more than just, you know, I don't like illegal immigrants or I'm for Baldwin County. I mean, you've got to be able to articulate and have the political acumen and the smarts to be able to know how the process works, work the process, and get the job done and be able to explain what you're doing, because this empty rhetoric is not going to work for us and not going to be successful for us when and if one of these people were to get into office.
Well, the thing I'd say to you is, it goes back to redistricting, but it's a product of a strange congressional district. Do you have a guy from Headland, Alabama, which, you know, that these issues maybe don't hit home for someone from that part of the state, and you know, closer to the Georgia border than anything else or whatever, that it's sort of this isolation from this part of the state, and that's what these guys are running for, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really come on their radar.
Well, then you're not going to be successful getting votes in Mobile and Baldwin County if you don't know the issues that are important to the, you know, the largest population center in your district. And so again, you know, you got to be smart enough to know that you've got to understand the issues in your district, whether that's Congress or state Senate or state House. You got to be able to articulate a wide range of policy positions and explain and understand, you know, how they work, what they are, and why it's important for your district. And then you've got to be able to explain, articulate, and navigate the process as well and understand that. You know, simply saying, I heard this last night, well, I'm just going to go get the money to make it happen. Oh, really? You know, you didn't think that somebody else hadn't said, oh, I'm just going to go get the money. You got to understand how to work that, how to articulate those levers of power and really make sure that you leverage, you know, your authority, your power to get what is needed for your district. And if you can't do that and you don't even know how that works, then you're not the guy for the job.
But as far as that goes, I mean, from this point forward, and you know, they didn't necessarily articulate, some of them didn't, but there is obviously a more of a federal response. Is there any reason to believe that the Army Corps of Engineers would not respect the decisions of the Alabama legislature?
No, I think they will. And I think, again, being creative in the way that we were able to pass that piece of legislation forces them to do so. I would like to belt and suspenders it, if you will, with some language in WERDA. And I think that Senator Britt's, you know, moving in that direction. She's going to need a good partner, and Senator Tuberville is as well, and insisting that language is in there. And then I think she's going to need a good partner in Congress from the first congressional district that understands this issue and can make sure that language stays in there. And at that point, we've got this solved. I think we're 80% of the way there now with the actions that the Alabama legislature took. But it's really hard to, you know, for the state to force the feds to do something. And that's why we had to get creative. And I think we were successful in it. I just would like that belt and suspenders to make darn sure that that's handled, you know, into the future.
Finally, wrap it up on this. Obviously, you got election coming up in a couple of weeks, but 2 weeks from Tuesday. But to talk to us, how are you feeling about it?
I feel really good about it, Jeff. Our poll numbers are good. The response I'm getting in public is very good. Look, people know I'm a hard worker. People know I understand the process. People know that I've got, you know, a proven record and can point to proven results of bringing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money back to Baldwin County for use in roads and bridges and schools and parks and water access and everything else. They know I'm looking out for them. But above all, they know they've got somebody up there who understands the process, who understands the needs of the district, and is able to apply the process and how it works to our district so that I'm successful for them. And that is something that I think is resonating. And so, you know, my goal is to continue to do that for another 4 years. And I'm out there every day beating the bushes, asking for everyone's vote on May 19th.
Senator, we always appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for hopping on a day early this week. We do appreciate that as well.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there. Let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all